helping you live well, stay well, while keeping pace with today's rapidly changing healthcare environment. That's Summit Medical Group. And now it's time for SMG Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex LGBTI individuals encompass all races, ethnicities, religions, and social classes, and yet research suggests that these individuals may face many healthcare disparities. My guest today is Dr. Thomas Ziering. He's the medical director of LGBTI services at Summit Medical Group. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ziering. Tell us a little bit about the LGBTI community and what healthcare disparities that they're facing right now.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Melanie, for having me on the show. The LGBTI community is quite interesting because right now there are about 30 to 40% of LGBTI families being raised out there. And what we've seen over many, many years is a healthcare disparity in that these patients are afraid to go to their physician. 40% of LGBTI patients actually don't seek treatment with a doctor because of their inadequacy in LGBTI-affirming doctors, so people feel embarrassed and uncomfortable, and studies have shown that about 18% of the community is actually embarrassed to even talk to their doctor or their healthcare provider about what issues they may have had or what issues they may have that are important for us to know. We also know that about 22% have had horrible experiences with health professionals, and so they avoid going to see doctors. So we're seeing basically a community that has been underserved. Many patients are going to their physicians and talking about the healthcare needs, but may not be sharing a lot of their social history or sharing that their partner may be male or female, or they may be considering transitioning into a different gender. And that is obviously very important for us as physicians to know when treating patients, because we want to treat the whole patient. We don't want patients to be just a sore throat, just a heart problem, or a high blood pressure problem. We like to think of people as a whole. And it's important when you treat patients that you treat family members as well, as it may affect the whole family.
Dr. Ziering, tell us about some of the efforts to improve LGBTI health, because as you mentioned, all of the disparities, the reasons that they don't go see doctors, and when we talk about their mental and physical well-being, you know, this is an increased strain that many of us don't really understand. Tell us about some of the efforts to improve the health conditions and disparities.
Well, it's great right now because we have a LGBTI-affirming president, and as we can see throughout the country, people are more moving towards comfort with LGBTI people as well as gay and lesbian marriage, and that's really a huge step. I'm in medicine for 24 years, and as a gay person and as a physician, I can tell you 24 years ago, even myself, I kept quiet only because it could jeopardize my standing in working in a hospital or working with patients. Of course, 24, 25 years ago, people thought of gay patients as HIV patients, and the two almost became synonymous for a lot of physicians. So over the years, we've recognized that this is actually a racial issue. It's very much like years ago, it's a civil rights issue, actually, excuse me, that years ago we separated whites and blacks. Well, the gay community has been separated as well, and it's been very hard to find doctors. More and more doctors are identifying themselves as gay or lesbian, and some doctors, you don't have to be gay or lesbian certainly to treat a patient, but there's lesbian and gay affirming physicians, which are basically physicians who are straight but are very, very comfortable and see LGBTI healthcare as mainstream healthcare. The Human Rights Association has developed a healthcare equality index and put it into place about a year ago. And what that does is it's basically a guideline for hospitals and healthcare industry that treats patients rather, and it's a series of guidelines on how do we treat the LGBTI patients? How do we identify the LGBTI patients? How do we address the patients? How do we ask the questions about sexuality? How do we include the spouses in the patient's healthcare needs? How do we make sure that if a patient is hospitalized, that their spouse is the person that we contact. So it's really, there's been an incredible shift in the medical community and in the healthcare community in general to take into account the fact that the LGBTI population is actually a minority population that must be included in the whole. The community has a lot of issues with regard to addiction problems. There are some issues with obesity that we see. There's some issues with spousal abuse that's never, ever discussed. And cancer diagnoses tend to fall behind the wayside because patients may not share who their partners are or are afraid to talk about perhaps exposure to certain sexually transmitted viruses that can cause cancer. So we're really in an age where we're reaching out to patients and saying, we recognize the need, we want to be here for you, and we want you to feel comfortable. Please be open with your physician because we can't treat you if we don't know the whole story.
Dr. Ziering, is there a wellness model for the LGBTI community? And what about elder health? You know, as this community is growing older, and we see in the general community so much emphasis on elder care and elder health, what's going on in this community?
You have just brought up a phenomenal point. When we look at the LGBTI community, the really in need populations are becoming the aging populations because as patients age, and some of them unfortunately will have to go into assisted living facilities, we have to take into account there are LGBTI elderly patients in a nursing home, and they have different needs, different requirements, and different comfort levels. And we need to look at that community as well. HIV has become a chronic illness, thank God. So we have to be comfortable in knowing exactly what meds need to be used when we're juggling the blood pressure meds and the diabetic meds and all the long-standing chronic illnesses. Likewise, in a kind of a bimodal distribution, if you look at the younger healthcare community, the younger community, it's the kids now that are adolescents going into young adulthood that are really getting kind of lost. We see a lot of kids that are unfortunately homeless and really are living on the streets and aren't careful about safe sex practices. It seems that we were able to get to the baby boomers, the end of the baby boomers, of which I am, and into the generations a couple younger, to get the issues of safe sex out there, and people are being careful. But we've neglected to care for our elderly and our young, so we really need to reach out to those two communities as well. I'm fascinated by this because when we're dealing with patients, I as a 53-year-old man, a 53-year-old gay man, I have some friends that are in the older population. I'm actually meeting people who have been, I have a gentleman who was married for 45 years, his wife passed away, and now he's come out, so to speak. And here's a gentleman at 76, a vital gentleman who is looking to start a relationship, and I've got to counsel him on safe sex practices because he's got to be very careful. As a 53-year-old man, I plan on living a good long life, and I've got to look at my future as well. So whereas when I was a younger doctor and I fought for gay rights and I fought for advocacy and treated HIV, as a 53-year-old man, I want to make sure that my husband and I are protected as we get older and we look at where our future is going. So yeah, there are a lot of communities that are reaching out now. Asbury Park has an aging and very interesting diverse culture, and they're starting to look at things. So there's talk amongst people in the LGBTI communities, both physicians, attorneys, elder care representatives. There's definitely an interest in where are we going and what can we do for our community, as opposed to fighting for equal rights and fighting for marriage. It's really kind of gratifying. So it's no longer about identity and we're here. It's more about, well, we're here and where are we going?
Absolutely. And Dr. Ziering, please, in just the last minute or so that we have, tell listeners why they should come to Summit Medical Group for their LGBTI care and really your best information, your best advice for this community in getting great access to health care.
Well, I'll tell you, I joined Summit Medical Group as a physician about 3 months ago. I've been a physician, an out gay physician in New Jersey, probably the only out gay physician for the last 20 years, but I didn't come out of the closet until my credentials were set in stone, because I was afraid that, as could have happened, I could have been refused privileges if something got out and someone wanted to make a big deal about it. So I was able to start an independent Department of Family Practice, and people talk about me coming out and being an available gay physician. There are a lot of other physicians in New Jersey that are gay, but they're not out for whatever reasons they choose. Summit Medical Group, when I approach them, and they are very happy to have family doctors because we all believe primary care is really the forefront of medicine. We're treating the whole person. When I mentioned my interest is in LGBTI medicine, they said, oh my gosh, we need that here. And really, there is not an LGBTI medically approved center at this point. So my job is to not just educate patients, but my job is to educate other physicians. So we're going to be giving lecture series for other physicians about dealing with the LGBTI community, using proper verbiage, readdressing how do we make an intake form a comfortable form for everybody to take. Right now, I'm more than happy to see any LGBTI physician, and I know all the ones that are affirming in the area, but Summit has made a commitment for community outreach in LGBTI medicine. So when I approached them, when I first met with them, they were ecstatic. And they said, look, we really want to have an LGBTI director because we think this is important for all of the community, New Jersey, New York, all the surrounding areas. And I'm very happy to say that even this talk that we're having would never have happened 20 years ago. And here we are doing something like this. I'm more than happy to speak to anybody if they want to come in and see me as a physician, but I would tell patients, be open and honest with your physician. When we ask, are you married, are you single? No, I'm single. I ask every person, are you interested in men, in women, in both? It's a very non-threatening way. And the interesting thing is the adolescents, they don't even get fazed by it because they're very comfortable with it. It's my generation, my parents' generation, that are a little bit uncomfortable. If you are LGBTI or LGBTI affirming and your doctor isn't comfortable with it and they make some sort of comment or their body reaction makes you uncomfortable, there are plenty of doctors to go around, find another doctor. There's no way that anybody should be uncomfortable in their doctor's office, because if you don't share with us, we can't know about your health risks. So I encourage everybody to be open and honest with your doctor. If you're LGBTI, do your homework. There is an organization called the Gay and Lesbian Medical Association, of which I am a member of. It's GLMA. If you go on the website, glma.com, you can type in where you are, your zip code, and it will give you a list of gay-affirming physicians, and that's the easiest way to go. And that is a worldwide organization. So even in another country, if you're in London on vacation, you can do the very same thing, glma.com, and you will find a physician that is comfortable with the community.
Thank you so much. You're listening to SMG Radio. And for more information, you can go to summitmedicalgroup.com. That's summitmedicalgroup.com. This is Melanie Call. Thanks so much for listening.